I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Regular Mack from It's Always Sunny. He's Rob McElhenney. He was guest hosting Jimmy Kimmel Live, and he said, good news, President Biden is now COVID-free. Happy to hear that. He's back on his feet and as healthy as a 175-year-old horse. That was Biden's second bout with the virus. You know, these rebound COVID cases are quite rare. They say the odds of Joe Biden getting reinfected were almost as low as the odds that he gets reelected. Madonna wants to host The Tonight Show. She was on with Jimmy Fallon and said, Jimmy, God forbid if you were sick, even if you weren't sick, I would host the show. I think maybe you should take a break for the week. The audience cheered and Madonna said, we could have some fun. And then Fallon said, we always have fun. Madonna said, no, we could have more fun without you. You're like the dad that we can't have fun with. Her idea of fun? Lots of dirty words, making her guests feel comfortable. And Vulture writes, unlike Jimmy Fallon, who slipped up and said Madonna has bad teeth, but Madonna doesn't just want to host. Jimmy brought up her teaching herself how to drum. Madonna then turned to Questlove and said, I don't want to make you feel bad, but one day, let's have a showdown, throwdown, hoedown. Seems like Madonna needs attention. Vulture has Kate McKinnon on the Good One podcast. They ask Kate, when you think back on your time on SNL, do you have a moment where you felt most connected to the audience? Kate McKinnon said, I'll share two moments where I felt most connected. One was after Hillary had lost and the cold open was me playing Hallelujah on the piano. I felt that for the people for whom that was a tragic event, I felt very connected and in a very real way. Then I also felt connected the first time I did the alien abduction sketch. It was a completely different experience. People were laughing instead of crying. And yet it was the same recognition of like, we're all in this together, guys. We all feel the same way about something. That, I think, is the most amazing thing about sketch as opposed to stand-up or any sort of filmed long piece like a movie or whatever. Sketch is like a show and tell. You show the audience this thing that delighted you about human behavior and you're laughing at it and they're laughing at it. And then you're bonded with them because you both know that you feel the same way about something. I think it's the greatest experience you can have. The LA Times spoke to Hannah Einbender. They asked her about Deborah Vance's struggle on the TV show Hacks. Has Deborah Vance's struggle to stay relevant as she grows older made you contemplate your own future in stand-up? Hannah said, I can tell you, I'll always write my own material. If I ever thought, oh, I should get a writer, that's when I'll probably stop doing comedy. I've seen a lot of my heroes become angry old men wagging their finger at things they don't understand. I wonder who she means, Israel. I hope that never be that way. The world is moving so quickly, I won't be able to help but get left behind. When I feel that's happened, I'll respectively take my lead. I don't want to stay in comedy for the sake of having people look at me or for money or any of the things to keep someone doing it. I feel lucky to be able to do other things within the realm of performance. Well, Hannah, does being an Emmy-nominated actor on a critically acclaimed series change the crowd that comes to see your stand-up show? She says, well, it's changed the crowd, and now that there is one... The material I'm doing now on the road was polished before I got Hacks. When I try to slip new things in, I can hear the difference. I've been lucky to get an accurate read on my stuff. On that particular night, she said, tonight I'm going to be workshopping very raw new material I've just been writing. I'll just go up with these ideas and rip them out. I expect it to go poorly. All comics bomb. It's just part of it. I think the first 5 minutes you're up there, they're like, oh my God, that's my favorite person. And then that wears off, you know? From Variety, Joe Coy is adamantly opposed to the idea held by many Hollywood gatekeepers that Joe Coy's comedy is too specific. Joe asks, why was I able to relate to Eddie Murphy talking about his Aunt Bunny, falling down the stairs? I relate to his mom disciplining the kids and having bionic ears. That's my mom. That's a black woman I'm relating to, but my mom's Filipino. So when it comes to me talking about my Filipino family, they're like, hey, slow down. I don't understand that note. There's a reason I'm selling out two arenas in every market. I'm literally selling the same number of seats as the Golden State Warriors. If not more, because we added seats on the basketball floor. So to get 25 to 26,000 people, it's a very specific range there, Joe Coy. To get 25 to 26,000 people to come see you tell jokes during the playoffs. Come on, man. It's not just Filipinos in there. It's everybody in there. Johnny Mack, you haven't mentioned Jimmy Carr in like 6 days. Is something wrong? No, nothing's wrong. I just had a lot of other material. From Cult MTL, they asked Jimmy Carr about his writing process. How do you write, Jimmy Carr? Jimmy said, my whole thing is never refuse the muse. So if you think something might be funny, just get it down. I've learned you do forget. So write down that nub of an idea. Then the writing process is honing that. The writing process is sitting down with an ocean of notes, half thoughts and ideas, and trying to remember what you were thinking. Often you reverse engineering. Sometimes I just write a nice turn of phrase, then I try to work it in some way. It's like putting together a jigsaw puzzle, you know? Where would that fit? What joke goes with another joke? What's a one-liner? What's part of a bigger routine? I'd like to think my shows are really the best of me, all the funniest things I've thought of in the last 12 months. How'd you get into comedy, Jimmy? I was in my mid-20s. I was bored. I was working for an oil company, which was very prestigious then, but now it's like saying, yeah, I worked for the Nazis. I worked for Shell Oil. I had a very boring office job. I wanted to live a life less ordinary. I wanted to do something fun. I didn't care about stuff, so I left it all behind to become a comedian. I left to join the circus, and in the UK in the year 2000, comedy wasn't a huge industry. It was like, come do it because it's fun. Alrighty, Jimmy, who are your comedic influences? Early on, it was Emo Phillips and Stephen Wright. I love the wordplay, the energy, the fastballs. Everything in my act for the first 10 years was all fastballs. No long stories. Everything was just punchline, punchline, punchline. And I like the discipline of that. The audience knows there's a setup. So if you don't land the punchline, it's an awful feeling. I was trying to land three or four of those a minute. It's like a high wire act. But if you could do it, if you could pull it off, it was just magnificent. I think about the phrase laugh a minute. If you're only getting a laugh a minute, you've effed up. Jimmy, who's a new comedian that you watch for enjoyment? Jimmy says a lot. Beth Stelling, Catherine Cohen, they're both absolutely fantastic. There's a lot of great talent out there, and I think we're living in a golden age. Netflix is largely behind that. They made the market so big now. There's something for everyone. My comedy isn't very mainstream, but now everybody in the world who wants to watch that kind of comedy can see it. It's accessible everywhere. YouTube has helped as well. It's hard to make a list because you don't want to leave anyone out. He added, I don't want to encourage the young new comedians too much because they're taking bread off my table. I like to tell the new comedians they should watch a documentary a day. It doesn't stop them, but it slows them down. Whew, I just had to open the door to the studio. And by studio, I mean smallish room in my basement next to the treadmill. But there's no windows in here, which is how you're supposed to record. But oh my God, there's no air in here and it's a million degrees. From SCMP, that's the South China Morning Post. Say it with me. Your home for comedy news. Margaret Cho says, in the past, racism, homophobia, sexism, all those things were really difficult, but they were very commonplace in comedy. But now the perspective is shifting, and we're asking comedians to be more thoughtful about what their words are saying. I appreciate that. I have very strong beliefs, and I really do want to be a good comedian. So there's a lot of challenges, but I think it's just about trying to meet that challenge. USA Today had a comedy article about stereotypes. Mo Ammer says, one person's repulsive might be another's hysterical. It's the thing about stand-up. It's so subjective, right? That's what gets lost in this whole conversation, how subjective it really is. How you talk about stereotypes, how you push forward, who's keeping the dialogue open to have those conversations and push forward and be better as a society and artistically, that's what I think about. The Irish Times caught up with Frank Skinner, who said, I used racist language, I was sexist, I was homophobic. He's at Edinburgh Fringe. His show's called 30 Years of Dirt. It's a comedic journey through his attempt to de-smutify his brain for the modern audience. A kind of personal challenge. Can he even be funny without talking about penises? It's only a loose, lighthearted theme, but it still feels refreshing in a world where many comics seem to think their sole purpose is to say the most offensive thing possible. He recalls an early comedy show, maybe in the late 80s, where the host apologized to the crowd after Frank Skinner had performed some risque sexual material. He said, I'd never play the venue again. And then he launched into a load of racist material and brought the house down. Everyone's got their own standards and restraints, but I think it's been good for me to keep questioning what I say. It's made me think more. He admits he made some terrible mistakes in more than 30 years of a comic. I'll clean this up a little. He was on a show and started making fun of a black soccer player. Skinner says, it was bad. I still don't know how it happened. I don't know why we took the whistle out of him, because I'd watched him on Match of the Day missing several goals, so a sketch about him being able to put a piece of paper into a bin worked. But when his comedy partner walked out from makeup and blackface that night, I still don't know why one or both of us or someone didn't say, what the F is happening? I can't look back on it now without seeing it as bullying. It was a big response to it. People started sending loads of pictures of pineapples. It was part of the joke. I'll leave that alone. So it ran and ran and ran. Looking back, it was a bullying campaign. And it's awful. I'm ashamed of it. And we've said that to each other without any Guardian journalist impressed. It wouldn't be too much to say that we're both deeply ashamed. It's not like we didn't know. Me and Dave knew. Tonight at the National Comedy Center. Carson Tonight, Johnny's Comedy and Variety Acts Live. This is an onstage comedy and variety tribute to Johnny Carson's Tonight Show. It also marks the official opening of the National Comedy Center's new multi-screen exhibit, Johnny Carson, the Immersive Experience, celebrating Johnny's career and legacy. A roster of talented artists and personalities from Carson's 30-year late-night run reconnect in Jamestown tonight, hosted by Seinfeld writer Pat Hazel, who conceived the idea and performed on The Tonight Show in 89. The show will feature master magician Lance Burton, comedian Kathy Ladman, ventriloquist Jay Johnson, wildlife expert Joan Embry. Wow, how old is Joan Embry now, Google machine? Born June 1st, 1949. Joan Embry, still a young 73. I would have guessed older, apparently, or I would have gone into that sidebar, right? Right. It's also jugglers. Jeff Sotzing, is Johnny Carson's nephew and the keeper of the legacy. I have done business with Jeff Goodguy, and he is indeed truly all about just keeping Johnny's name out there. Satsang said, throughout Johnny's 30 years at The Tonight Show, he loved to showcase exceptional talent from stand-up comedy to magic to variety of all kinds. What a joy it'll be to reunite with such a stellar lineup of Tonight Show guests as we remember and honor Johnny at the National Comedy Center. Johnny Carson, the immersive experience, will officially open on Saturday, August 13th. It will include 30 digital projection screens that surround the audience, as well as newly enhanced holographic technology. Video presentations will feature interviews with Steve Martin, Martin Short, Bette Midler, Jay Leno, Mel Brooks, Billy Crystal, Byron Allen, George Lopez, Carol Leifer, George Wallace, Paula Poundstone, Conan, Sebastian Maniscalco, and more. Sebastian Maniscalco and Johnny Carson? Was Sebastian on? No, there's no way. Johnny retired in what, 92? Sebastian is 49, born in 73, so he would have been 19 when Johnny Carson retired. Did I do the math right? I don't know. I mean, the rest all fit. I'm thrown by the Sebastian Maniscalco. Why is he part of this? We like him. I just would, you know, it'd be like me being on there. There's also archival videos from Carson's Tonight Show, including monologues and characters like Carnac the Magnificent, Floyd R. Turbo, and Art Fearn. Sean McCarthy, his website is The Comics Comic. He's been reviewing shows at The Fringe. He gave 4 stars out of 5. He hasn't given a 5 yet, interestingly enough. John Luke Roberts' show is called A World Just Like Our Own, but... dot, dot, dot. Good opener here. You'll likely never see a comedian take to the stage quite like John Luke Roberts does in his 2022 Fringe show. Roberts taps into our culturally obsessive trend towards multiverses. A washing machine on stage functions magically as a portal to these other worlds, complete with a corded phone that connects the comedian to all of the other John Luke Roberts who ring him up throughout the hour. Sounds like a good time. John Luke Roberts, A World Just Like Our Own, but is at Monkey Barrel 4 through August 28th. And that's your comedy news for today. Normal episode tomorrow. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. See you here.